Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. The gong ending the season for the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals, season's alive. Oh, wait a minute. The gong has sounded.
They deserve the big hook from the gong show to take them off the stage after that craptastic effort. Are you kidding me?
Woo! And, you know, I remember, to borrow from Jason Lockenfora, I remember when I was old enough to remember that the Cardinals and the Rams were both really struggling. And who was going to win that game was going to be a toss-up. My goodness. This game was over early. The Rams get out to a 7-0 lead. Odell Beckham is doing his thing. And Matthew Stafford and he, because they're doing exactly what I said they had to do to avoid a lack of success, and that's as long as Matthew Stafford doesn't try to jam the ball deep to Odell Beckham, they'll be fine, because basically all the passes Matthew Stafford gets in trouble on, he's trying to throw it deep to Odell, and that's not who Odell is.
You come out of the game and you just run the ball down their proverbial throats.
Right.
Good things are going to happen. And Cam Akers, I mean, he's a medical marvel. Get that sports science back. I want to see what he did as rehab.
That's 5.5 months when that's a year injury, and he's back, and he is physical. But, look, you use Odell Beckham Jr. to be that chunk yardage guy from 12 to 18 to 22 yards. That's what Beckham is. And if he catches a handful of passes a game, that's what you want, right? That's Odell Beckham. I always said if he's 5-60 every game for the Rams, that's a huge victory, right? Because with the other weapons they have at receiver and tight end, that's exactly what they need. And that's what they did early on with Odell. Matthew Stafford, another big run when they ran the ball down the Cardinals' throats. It's 14-0, and the Cardinals need something. And this is where we get into the conversation about Kyler Murray that's going to get a little bit awkward. But with 14-0 lead, the Cardinals look like they get a first down. However, it also looked like it could have been an incomplete pass because the ball got jarred loose. Sean McVay challenges the ruling on the field, and instead of a first down, it is ruled incomplete. So now 3rd and 7, Cardinals are backed up in the shadow of their end zone. They need a play. What they didn't need was this.
Chase Edmonds is the back next to Kyler. Takes the snap, sets the laces, bounces in the pocket, hit from behind, flips it forward. It is intercepted! Intercepted! A pick six! David Long Jr. plucks it at the one. He's got an interception return for a touchdown.
Rams Radio Network, and clearly, TJ, not a long run by long for the touchdown. You could say it was a short run by long. In the short run, long is in the end zone. And to say how he's doing, long is in the end zone, TJ.
I really feel like thought the you Robert were going to end up with now. Yeah.
I was L for Robert Loggia.
Nicely done. Hey, it's Robert Loggia. No, that was really well done. I really thought you were going to end up with Short Round eventually, a controversial character of films past Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
And the long kiss goodnight for Gina Davis and the Arizona Cardinals.
Now you're reaching a little bit. Although she's been doing a bunch of interviews, so maybe folks would remember her career right now.
Look, this play by Kyler Murray, you look at yourself and you say, what is he doing? Because the first thing he does is he holds onto the football in the end zone way too long, right? You can't do that. You can't hold onto the football that long in the end zone. I get he wants to make a play, but you can't do it. Because what happens is the pass rush gets to him, and he's going down. He doesn't want to take a safety, so he just tries to flick it, which long grabs the ball at the 2-yard line, and it's a pick six. I mean, it's really, I got it. One step, I'm in the end zone. It's a pick six. It doesn't get any easier than that. And then it was 21-0, and that affects effectively ended the game. Now, while the Cardinals were looking for some kind of good tidings to put on the scoreboard before halftime, you know, maybe we get it to 21-7, things are better. Murray throws another pick when he throws a no-touch pass out of the backfield. It was going to be a little screen pass, and it bounces off Connor and into the waiting arms of the Los Angeles Rams. And that pick right there tells you, oh man, Kyler Murray's got to make a better throw than that. What is he trying to do? And that was the end of the game. And it's 21-0, and the game goes the way of the Rams. The Cardinals get a touchdown and a two-point conversion, but that's it. And now Kyler Murray is looking at this playoff game where he goes 19 out of 37 for 137 yards and a couple of picks. It's an uncomfortable conversation to have, but tonight seems to be the theme of what are the ceilings of the quarterbacks that we've seen play and potentially go home in the playoffs this year. And we told you about Mac Jones, right? Mac Jones is just a game manager, man.
That's just your opinion, man.
Come on, man. You know, hey, is this your homework? Is this your homework, Harmon?
Yeah, but at least you could say there's 1 year in and there's still potential for growth. Once you get past year three, now we have the well kind of conversations. After 1 year, I'll take what I got out of Mac Jones and hope that I can develop him. Kyler Murray, and how much of this is on his coach, though? Right? We've all seen the graphic. Cliff Kingsbury, once it hits November 1st, he can't coach anymore.
Well, okay,
his teams go to hell year after year after year.
I don't know why, because then the weather starts getting nicer in Arizona. You know, it's not so hot. That's so unbearably hot. You think, oh, the Cardinals are bad when it's really, really hot, but then the weather gets cooler, they get better. No, 9-17 under Kingsbury from October on, right? The Cardinals have started fast a couple of times, and they finished and just limped their way over the finish line. And the one common thread the past 3 years is Kyler Murray. And Murray, whose production in the first half of years has always been really good, right? Oh, MVP. And then the second half of the year, when the teams figure out what he's doing, it's not so much. The image of Kyler Murray, if you didn't know anything about him and you heard the media talking about Kyler Murray, you would think this guy was 40 touchdowns this year, like Matthew Stafford, right? You'd think Matthew Stafford would
stop
have like
trying
18...
to make Matthew Stafford happen.
Like, if you heard the way the media didn't know anything about these players and say, hey, you heard the media talk about Matthew Stafford, what do you think his numbers are this year? Oh, I don't know, 16 touchdowns, 10 picks, he threw for 3,500 yards. No, 41 touchdowns, second in the league in yards. You'd think Kyler Murray was a guy that threw for 50 touchdowns and had 10 more running. Kyler Murray is not quite as dynamic as you think he is. He is not responsible for as much offense as you think he is. He doesn't throw for 4,000 yards. He has a little bit of trouble staying on the field this year, but it doesn't matter. He has kind of settled into being a quarterback that throws 25-ish touchdowns, turns the football over half that time. He's got a 2-to-1 touchdown to turnover ratio, and he's going to run the football a little bit. But his quarterback rating is in the top 15, but he doesn't put up numbers that make you go, oh my goodness.
Well, but last year he accounted for 37 touchdowns, though.
He did, yeah, he did. Now, and what did he do this year? In his year,
well, he missed three games, and he was laboring on one leg without his number one wide receiver and his top running back.
If he
took a bunch of those touchdowns away off the ground,
right now Baker Mayfield is going, yeah, that's right, he was hurt. If he was hurt, he wouldn't be playing.
No. But the point was, you also had James Conner, who siphoned off a lot of those touches in the glory touches inside the five that were run calls for Murray a year ago. If you want to do stat padding, we could do that.
Yeah, but that's okay, but him as a quarterback.
No, but you were citing stats, and I'm just trying to make sure
he's kind of this guy. Well, I want people to understand that he's going to he throws about 25 touchdowns a year. That's what a middle of the pack quarterback does. He throws for not even 4,000 yards. That's what a middle of the pack quarterback does. And it's not that he's terrible. It's not that, oh my God, Kyler Murray. But if we have the conversation about guys like Lamar Jackson and Mac Jones and what the ceiling is, because quarterbacks always get overhyped. And if the conversation we had about Mac Jones is accurate, and what we had about Lamar Jackson, Lamar's been in the league a while. What if this is just who he is? A guy that is a tremendous talent that will put a lot of points on the board, but will also have a little bit of trouble staying healthy. And in big games, he can come up short. You can stop him. You can slow him down. At this point in his career, that's kind of who Lamar Jackson is. Now, Lamar Jackson's a better version of Kyler Murray, you know, a better player, certainly, because he has put up more numbers, does have an MVP. But we talk about Kyler Murray as an MVP candidate, and he's just not that guy. And maybe this is just who he is. Kyler Murray is a guy, this is what he's going to throw for. He's going to give you 4,000, a little bit less than 4,000 yards, 25 touchdowns. Is that good enough to win some games and squeak into the playoffs every couple of years? Absolutely. You can win 9 or 10 games and get in the playoffs on that. 100% you can do that. But Kyler Murray, number one overall pick that was drafted to, hey, we're going to Super Bowls. I don't know if I see that from Kyler Murray. I see a lot of excitement, and I see some big games at the end of the year, but I also see a lot of times where the guy struggles. And he doesn't put the points on the board that they need to win games. I mean, you look at this Cardinals offense and you would think, oh, they score like 50 points a week. No, they don't. They struggle. They struggle. They score 12, 16, 23, 22, 21. They have games like that. And usually they're in the second half of the season. And that's where you start to get figured out, and certain things you do happen. Murray is kept into the pocket a little bit more, maybe not quite as much as you could, because he still does get out a little bit and make some plays, but clearly his efficiency goes down the second half of the year. And if you want to blame the coaching, well, the coaching's doing it the first half, but he's not doing it the second half.
Yes.
Like I said,
we got 9 years in a row or whatever it is when you go back and add his college stats, right? For what Kingsbury does in terms of adjustments. You know, we talk about game-to-game adjustments, right, at halftime. Clearly, second half of season, something happens going all the way back to his college days. Rips off big points and wins early, and then failures late. There's got to be someone doing the statistical probability of all of that and trying to analyze exactly what the hell goes wrong, because there's a long pattern going on there for him.
Right, but this is year three for Kyler.
Sure.
This is year three of him being the same quarterback now he was year one. I've not seen any growth. I've not seen him become a better player. I've seen him kind of be the same player he always is. And this was the year to take that leap. Okay, now Kyler Murray, year three, you know, another year in Kingsbury's offense. All right, great. And the first half of the year looked really good. And the second half of the year was, ooh, boy, that was really rough. Like I said, this may be his ceiling, and this may just be who he is. Like I said, good enough to do some things and win games, get to the playoffs every couple of years, but suddenly is he the next great breakthrough quarterback in the NFL? I don't see that. I see a guy that, okay, I know kind of who he is, and I know how the seasons are going to go for him.
Well, I think I look at it on a larger scale, right? We talk about some of the draft picks that are made behind him. And look, I know it's a Kyler Murray conversation, but let's take the whole team with him, right, as you go. The defense, when J.J. Watt, who, as we talked about before the season, you were going to get half a year out of him, and that's really what you got. But when he was on the field, defense obviously better. You talk about the draft picks that never saw the field, based on decisions, Keim and some of his professionalism or the lack thereof on off are issues. You're running with Christian Kirk as your number one, who I think we can all agree, much like many of the receivers in Baltimore have been, they're not number one guys. You're putting out Jags and trying to say, all right, go win with these guys. This year, unfortunately, DeAndre Hopkins gets hurt. You know, it's the old, I'd love to see this. And everybody has attrition. Everybody has injuries and protocols and whatever that beset their seasons. There's no question about it. For Kyler Murray, yeah, I mean, maybe it's just they're a contender every year. But I never hold where a guy's drafted against him. I can hold it against his GM. Right, it's not his fault the team trades up. Or in the NBA, we always do, oh, that guy's such a bust, look at all these guys that were stars behind him. Like, I don't know, he did something to convince the guys in the room he was the guy. It's not his fault, right? This guy made $100 million, he's stealing. It's like, yeah, go ask your bosses if they got the true value out of you this year. You know, this goes for any job. Sorry, folks, let's be honest about what we're talking about here. The reality is you're paid, and then you're it's not like you're saying, hey, you know what? I can really Cadillac it now because, you know, no, it's the NFL. You do that, you're getting laid out, right? And problems happen. But for Kyler Murray, the fact that he comes in and he's tied with Kingsbury and everybody expects, you know, you're off to see the wizard and it's going to be an easy run. No. I mean, it's certainly and I bring up the Kingsbury second half of season just because I think statistically and just for a larger sample size, it's interesting. It's not just 3 years in Arizona and that it does go back to the college days of, okay, what exactly happens? What do they catch on to? And what isn't he doing to evolve his game plan as you flow to tonight? I mean, it was just an abject failure. I mean, there's no cutting through it, right? You can't sugarcoat it any which way. He was terrible and made a couple of the worst decisions, right? If you were going to rank all the decisions coaches and players made this year, or this weekend, I should say, in our super wild card weekend, and throw out anything of dealing with officiating, those would probably be two of the worst five, right? If we were doing a nice little segment like that. Which we're not. But to just say that they were terrible, and he's got to own those. So while I may absolve him for some of the sins, no, those he's got to say a couple of rosaries.
Mm. Well, I just want to say this, but as we finish this conversation here, Kelly Stafford called in telling us we had great takes a few minutes ago.
Oh,
so,
sure.
Everything we've talked about the quarterback tonight, she thinks is right on. So that's good. She's
what does that get us?
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, she's very happy what we said about Stafford and the other quarterbacks and how good he is and the other guy.
Sure.
No, he's, she said really good. I think maybe we'll be on her podcast. It might happen.
It's all you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. As soon as we hear from Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury, Sean McVay, we'll bring you some of their post-game sound. If I'm watching correctly, I believe the first question Matthew Stafford got was, hey, Matthew, is Clayton Kershaw coming back next year? It's just going to be you here in Los Angeles. Are we getting Clayton? Because we know you guys are buddies and stuff. Can you tell us? Is he coming back? Are we going to get him? Is he coming?
You had to do it, didn't you? You had to do it. I feel like I need to get in my car, come over there, and Goldberg spear your ass off of that one.
Hey, Matthew, great game, but do you know if Kershaw's coming back next year?
I'm sorry. I might have gotten distracted over the course of the telecast. Did they ever put that graphic up? Because the game was a blowout. In the second half, they might have.
I was waiting for them to show Kershaw sitting in somebody's box watching the game. You know, we've seen him in Texas watching games.
Oh, my God. Kershaw is in.
Oh, in George's box. I've never seen anything like it. Hey, Matthew, you know, you didn't turn the ball over. You threw two touchdowns. You ran for one. That is a very Clayton Kershaw-esque night. Do you know, is he returning to the Dodgers next year? Or you got any insight on that you can tell us about it?
Do you think this is how Clayton feels when he pitches seven shutout innings? I'll hang up and listen to for your answer.
Hey, Matthew, I'm doing a story on New Year's resolutions. So outside of football, can you tell us, do you think Clayton Kershaw's New Year's resolution is returning to the Los Angeles Dodgers? Will we have that? Is that great? Okay.
Oh, you're having too much fun with that one. But yeah, it's inevitable. It was inevitable that line of questioning would start. Hey, now that you got that first playoff win...
You know, what do you think it was like for Kershaw when he got that first playoff win? And do you think he's coming back next year? Two-part question.
I don't are they going to play baseball this year, Matthew?
Hey, you know, Matthew.
What's Clayton say? Does he think there's going to be a season?
Matthew, you're playing in Tampa next week, and that's going to be a big game. But you know who had a big game in Tampa against Tampa was Clayton Kershaw when they won the World Series. Do you think Clayton's coming back next year to the Dodgers? What do you think? Anything on that?
Oh, boy.
You know, not a neutral site. You're actually in Tampa. But for Clayton, they were on the against Tampa and won. Do you feel the need to do that? Matthew, do you feel the need to play better with Los Angeles playing Tampa because the Dodgers won the World Series? And is Clayton Kershaw going to be on the Dodgers next year? I would just keep going with that. Yeah, I don't know.
Matthew, does Kelly like Clayton?
Ha 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 ha! Do you think she would be happy with the coverage of Clayton Kershaw going on? Because she's not happy with yours. But what about Clayton's? Would she be okay with that? Oh, there you go. There you go. That's all the questions from me. I'm sorry. That's all we have time for. Oh, man. We didn't get anything out of Matthew Stafford after that. All right. That's fine. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hey, Matthew, Jason Smith, Fox Sports Radio. Listen, I vacation in Detroit, and they think you
Whoa.
We'll have more on this game coming up in a few minutes. But, look. Week one of the NFL playoffs is down, and, well, let's face it, we had a lot of intriguing matchups. We had a couple of close games and a couple of big-time blowouts. But all the drama is coming to us courtesy of the Niners and the Cowboys from a day ago. The game ending when Dak Prescott goes up the middle and slides down. They make a mistake. Dak, instead of handing the ball to the official, hands the ball to his center, who tries to hand the ball to the official. The official has trouble spotting the ball. By the time the Cowboys snap the football to try to spike it, time runs out. Now, I'll give you one guarantee because of I know how the world works. Did the game end the right way? Yes. And for Dak to sit here and go, oh, yeah, with people were throwing stuff at the referees, great. Dak, you know what? Take some ownership, man. Take some ownership that you guys stunk and lost the game. Because it's not like it was a touchdown. You would have had one more play from the 25 bleeping yard line. Oh, yeah, I'd have thrown a touchdown. Just stop, all right? It makes you look bad. But the end of this game, while it was adjudicated correctly because the clock ran out, I mean, I thought they would take more of a look to see if the Cowboys spike happened before the clock hit zero, but clearly it was, listen, clock zero, the game's over. It was adjudicated correctly. Now, two big things coming out of this, because this is going to be the new pass interference reviewable conversation for this offseason. Is it really fair that a team can't get a snap off because an official has trouble spotting the football? It's not, right? Well, it wasn't. This is how it's worked in the NFL for 100 years. The official runs up, spots the football, and we go, right? Every team has had to deal with that. But the Cowboys have. But if the official has trouble spotting the ball and a second or two ticks off the clock that wouldn't happen, is that fair? It isn't. And more importantly, is that this happened to the Dallas Cowboys. If this happened to the Bengals, or it happened to the Bills, or it happened to the Seahawks, or the Vikings, it would be a question of, oh, man, that's too bad. They should have got the snap off, should have done things differently, should have done X, Y, Z, and it would go away. But this is the Dallas Cowboys. And when something bad happens to the big-time marquee teams, rules get changed. When things happen to the Yankees, rules get changed. When things happen to the Cowboys, rules get changed. And the influential Jerry Jones is going to want this to be a change because it will then look like the Cowboys were victimized of a bad call and there was a rule created for the Cowboys so nobody else gets screwed again. And in a year where you're going home and you don't have the Super Bowl, that's at least some kind of solace, even though it's kind of empty, where, hey, this happened, we got screwed, they made a rule to change it. So Jerry Jones can walk around and go, see, we're influencing the league and the Cowboys made something happen. When bad things happen to those teams, change is made. Now, is it going to be to the extent of like college football where when there's a first down, the clock stops, the chains move, and then the players can come up and spike the football? They're not going to copy something off of college, but could I see something like when there's a first down, 3 seconds go by before the clock is started to give everybody time to get down the field more or some kind of rule like that? Yeah, that I can see. I can see something like that happening because specifically this was, hey, the official had trouble spotting the ball and they lost a couple of seconds. What is it? What is the apropos number of seconds to give a team after a first down when you go to spot the football? Is it 3 seconds? It's 3 seconds or it's 2 seconds, whatever it's going to be. But there will be some kind of rule change for those two reasons. It's not really fair an official stumbling has trouble spotting the ball and the team is a victim, but the main thing is it's the Dallas Cowboys because the Cowboys affect change, Mike Harmon. They affect it.
Well, the other thing you need to make sure is that the guys in New York, when you do go, the men and women that work in the offices and help with the officiating, that they actually know the rules and get it right too. See Exhibit A going back to Saturday and whistles being blown in the middle of a play and what the rule books actually say and applying thusly. As for this particular issue, it's we always want to add more rules to the rule book instead of either simplifying or taking them out. You know, the unwritten rule on this one is, hey, you know what? The guy's got to restart it, so flip the ball to him. You idiot. Right? I mean, that's it. If you're just going to go simple, and it's not to beat up on Dak too much. The rest of the game, he probably needs more criticism and the offense for being as stagnant and putrid as it was. Credit San Francisco as well for taking all those stars and reducing them. But when it gets down to this, sure, I can imagine they look at it, but, you know, what's the real solution to get to it, right? Because you're not going to stop the clock on first downs, I don't think. But, you know, we could look towards adoption, right? We've got kind of a hybrid mutant version of the college overtime rules applied as it is now, right? In you know, when you stretch it out a little bit. But when you look at this particular play, it's in – how many times do we have incidents like these, I guess? Is the sample size of one enough to justify changing a rule? I get Jerry Jones' influence. Remember, I was there at SoFi when they said, let's give a tribute to Stan Kroenke and the team. And the first picture up there was Jerry Jones. I was like, ha-ha! It's like he'd take it over like a video feed. You thought you were going to get all about the Rams. No, I willed this stadium to be built. It is I, Jerry Jones. So I understand the influence and the power and how you get things done. There's no question about it. But is it enough to get a rule change? I don't know. We don't have any connections. I don't even know who's on the rules committee anymore, because it used to be Jeff Fisher on the rules committee, and he's not anymore. So who's the guy in charge? Who do we have to influence to try to figure out whether this needs to be added in, or is it just a, hey, when you practice 2-minute drill, make sure they understand this is part of it. Get the ball into the hands of the officials and get the hell out of his way so he can spot it. To me, the latter seems easier and less need to tweak the rules and the clock management, which everybody already screws up anyway.
The other thing we got to stop is we need to get that Spider-Man tack off the ball, because other quarterbacks are able to grab the football, throw a little bit better. And, you know, Dak doesn't cheat, doesn't use the Spider-Man tack stuff. So if we could do that, that would help a little bit too. And, you know, maybe Dak's touchdowns go from, 30, 35 to 60, 65, and we're in the Super Bowl. So we'll take care of that No Way Home Spider-Man tack. And that's going to be – oh, and also – yeah, make sure that officials spot the ball. We give us like 3 more seconds. And if it comes to it where just the Cowboys get extra 3 seconds and spot the ball, I'm okay with that too. If it's not a league-wide rule and other teams don't want it, it's just for the Cowboys, we'll take it. So we'll take an extra 5 seconds when we get a first down before the chains move and the ball is spotted. Let's vote on that right now. And anybody who's not going to vote for me doesn't get a $3 million check tomorrow morning. So let's count those votes. Oh, there's a vote. Yay, yay, yay. All right, it passes.
I will say this. Spider tack ain't no joke. So
Spider-Man.
So you probably would not be able to get the ball into the official's hands. Now you're going to lose 3 seconds in the transfer, because he's going to have to, instead of being handed the ball, he's going to have to rip it off like pretty hard. And you know what? Your fingerprints are coming off too. Now you can go on crime sprees. There's problems, man.
Well, I saw the McGuire kid was pretty good in the Spider-Man tack. So, and he's like 45, and he's playing the Spider-Man now. So,
I'll tell you what, I felt like I aged much better after watching that movie.
Yeah, so, you know, Spider-Man's not some kid. At least, you know, rough, back man. Then it wasn't. Yeah, it was dead. And then they had the guy from the movie about the Facebook, and he's Spider-Man too, and he had the Spider-Man tack. So they all brought Spider-Man tack from other dimensions, and they brought it to Cowboys Stadium, and it got on the football, and the official, see, I'm just thinking this as I'm saying this, the Spider-Man tack gets on the ball, and that's why the official couldn't let it go. You see, it was kind of sticking to his hand, and we would have got that snap off, and Dak would have thrown a touchdown.
I really thought it was going to end up, you know what, we should go away from the spider tack and use the Cowboys bees. That way we get to sell more of our branded product.
Twitter and how about a Fresca Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Just watch the officials and the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, driving force behind this, because at least if they can't win, they can make a Cowboys rule.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Mic check. Hey. Mic check. Check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Holy Stanley Johnson, Batman. Stanley Johnson off the bench for the Lakers. He's got 13. Lakers are getting thumped. Lakers are getting thumped by the Jazz. Now they've turned it into an 87-85 lead.
Yeah, they have.
LeBron has 24, 7 assists, 6 rebounds as the Lakers try to reach 500 yet again. And as I said, Stanley Johnson just makes another shot. The guy's got 50. He's 7 out of 9 from the floor, Stanley Johnson. Oh, my goodness.
Plus 16 on the night between he and Horton Tucker and Monk. Oh. I mean, you're looking at 39 points off the bench. Reeves only with 2 points in his 19 minutes. But, you know, Magic Johnson over the weekend gave us one of those, would you believe this was a Magic Johnson tweet, in which he called everybody out and said, hey, Jeannie Buss deserves better. So folks now saying, well, at least Johnson answered the call off of that.
Stanley Johnson has more points right now than he has in his last 5 games played. He's played in 9 games all year. And now he's going to be, now we got to get him in the rotation. Now he's got to play all the time. Stanley Johnson.
You got to love it, man. Craziness.
Now, let's listen to a little bit of Matthew Stafford. Just finished meeting the media a couple of seconds ago. See what he had to say following his big night. A near-perfect quarterback rating. Rams eliminate the Arizona Cardinals. And maybe Stafford gets a question about Clayton Kershaw.
I'm just excited for our team to get the win. Obviously, what a team effort. I mean, our defense played outstanding tonight. Special teams basically set up a score with Johnny pinning them down there. Did a great job on field goals. And, you know, we were good enough on offense to score some points and come away with the win. Just happy to be moving on. I think it means a lot more to you guys and all that. I mean, I just want to be a part of this team and help us win. So I trust in myself, trust in my abilities, trust in my teammates. And I'll go out there and play and let the chips fall where they may.
Especially in this one here in SoFi and all the fans, what's your message for all the fans?
It was awesome. They did a great job. I mean, it was deafening some, you know, when our defense was out there. Pretty awesome, you know, the way they responded and the way they, you know, came out and cheered for us tonight. And our defense did a bunch to keep them cheering, which was great. And, you know, just happy to get a win at home.
Let me stop for a second. Hey, Matthew. I'm sorry. I know you got the Clayton Kershaw question. Those dudes are really out of control, man. I'm a gas man. Hey, what do you think of Stanley Johnson's night for the Lakers tonight? Boy, he's 16 off the bench. This is a big night for him, Matthew.
Wait a minute. He doesn't get to speak for a city just because he wins a game. I mean, because you could argue, as he said in his answer, that it was really the defense that did it all and that they just needed to not screw it up. I mean, that's how I would have turned it around and interpreted. So don't suddenly make him the the king of Los Angeles here.
All right, let's roll some more of Stafford.
Yeah, that's a play we practiced this week. Odell's a super talented guy. He made that throw right-handed. He could probably do it lefty too. He's a freak. But just really well executed. Cam did a great job walking underneath it, made a big play. Kudos to Sean for calling it that time. It was an awesome call. I thought, you know, Sean did a great job of setting us up for success really all night. And, you know, we made some plays when we had the chances.
You guys stayed really even, too, on offense. You felt, seemed like you felt settled within yourself after the run game as well. What did you guys learn from maybe the previous week, and how did you implement
Yeah, you know, I thought we had a great plan coming into the game. There were a couple wrinkles that they showed that were a little bit different. Some of the stuff on third down they were doing, but we were still able to execute and make some plays. but, you know, Sean, again, came up with a great one. We went out there and executed it well and moved it up and down the field. We had short field a bunch. Our defense scored. I mean, those kind of things are huge in any game. In a playoff game, it's going to be, magnified even more. So I'm just proud of our team.
Can you speak to your offensive line? At sometimes those holes seem enormous.
Yeah, it was outstanding, both in the run game and in the pass game. That's a tough front we're playing. I mean, that's a really good front seven. They can really get after the passer. They can stop the run. They can do all of it. So just proud of those guys, the way they played. They played great all season, to be honest with you. Did a great job of keeping me clean, giving me chances to, you know, work the ball down the field. And then in the run game, moving guys out of the way. And our backs did a great job of reading and creasing some.
All right, so there it is. Matthew Stafford, greatest quarterback in NFL, the toast of the town right now in Los Angeles, following the Rams' victory over the Cardinals. Yeah, Matthew Stafford's pretty good. He had a great year. He's good. I'm sorry. Suck it, haters. Suck it. You're going to have a really awful next 24 hours, unless they're just going to continue to put their heads in the sand and go, oh, gee. Eventually Matthew Stafford's going to not win a game, and then I can say, ah, here he was in the NFC Championship game. He threw 6 touchdowns, but it wasn't enough. Matthew Stafford stinks. That's what's going to happen, Mike Harmon.
Oh, it was all about the defense and the run game and the short field, so he just needed to be a caretaker today, Jason Smith.
Speaking of quarterbacks, boy, do we got something hot for you next, Fox.